What's up, Dog Pound? Happy to be back with you here on Browns Daily. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm, Michael Regei, Doug Deacon. Time now for the Roundtable, brought to you by our good friends at Blue Point Grill. It's on the corner of West 6th and St. Clair. Blue Point Grill, that's grillwithane.com for reservations. I've told you many times, it's a Silver Spoons Award winner for best seafood restaurant ever since opening. They have the freshest and highest quality seafood in town. With a name like Blue Point, you know oysters. They're a big deal, over 75,000 hand-shucked every single year, just the way Matt Wilhelm likes it. We're thinking of going out there and having an evening at Blue Point in the near future. So come out and join us. They got great service. It's a VIP experience. And if you don't like seafood, that's not your thing, don't worry. They have some of the best steaks in town as well. So you can get that in addition to the crab legs, the lobster tails, the ahi tuna, all of that at Blue Point Grill. So make your reservation now at Blue Point Grill. That's grill with an E.com. All right. In this second hour, we're going to kick things off, as I said, with this roundtable. Joining us from the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network, Doug Deacon. And Doug, let's just get right into it. Obviously, the offensive line, that's something you know very well, struggled against Jacksonville. What did you see in that game, and what do they have to do to get back on track against the Raiders?
Well, I think they allowed the Jaguars to get too much penetration. And when you get, you know, penetration, that screws up your path, or your running lanes in the outside zone read. They were, you know, splitting double teams, and we just had to stay on our blocks more and secure them at the line of scrimmage before we get to the second level. And, you know, it's one of those things, I think, when you have to replace somebody, it's one thing to replace one body, but when you kind of replace two because you switch the two people, the chemistry gets messed up, and you're not used to working with the footwork with the people next to you. And hopefully with another week, it gets better.
Doug, what is your insight in regards to that the three running backs? You know, what is your insight on what you've seen thus far this season, and what you obviously covering the team each and every game? What is your input about the two backs? And in our minds, it's Ben Tate and Isaiah Crowell versus Ben Tate, Crowell, and Terrence West all being up in an active part of the game plan each week.
Well, I think, you know, to get into a rhythm, you can't get more than two backs because it gets a little tough. And I think, you know, when you are a back and you go in there, you got to understand the down and distance and the situation, and you can't try to hit a home run if you're, you know, really looking at a 1 or 2 yards to get a first down. You know, you get the first down first, and if you go, if you get more, then that's a, you know, a little whipped cream on the cake. But I think, you know, some of our younger backs sometimes don't understand the situation or are confused at it. But I to answer your question, I think you can't go with more than two. I think sometimes you get out of the flow of the game by, you know, sitting there too long.
Deke, how vital do you think it's going to be that the as quickly as Nick McDonald can get up to speed so that Greco can move back to that right guard spot? Maybe that's in the theory of, again, when you have Greco play center, you are weakening two spots. Could that be something that would really help short term here?
Oh, that definitely help. The question then becomes Nick McDonald playing at this speed, because, you know, he's out there at practice, and that's totally different than game speed. I'm not sure last time he played at true game speed, and you're asking a lot of somebody to go out there. But, you know, if you can secure four of the positions and then, you know, just have somebody earn their wings. But, you know, the center position is so important in calling out protections and things like that, that, you know, you really want somebody totally equipped. But you can pass that on to Greco. Greco could call your protections for you from the guard position if that's the case. But I think the biggest thing will be, you know, playing at game speed, because, you know, preseason is one speed, regular season is another. And if you're fortunate enough to get to the playoffs, it even gets cranked up a little bit more.
No, you're right. And Mike Pettine on the Mike Pettine Show, which you can hear tonight on this radio network, talked about that with Nick McDonald. He's saying, you know, he's got to get back up to speed. And he did praise his smarts, though. He said, I think the mental aspect he'll be able to handle. We just got to see where he is physically. So let's say that he's not able to go this weekend. A lot of us are hopeful that he is, and that ultimately will be the coach's decision. If he's not able to go, based on what you saw from Paul McQuiston, who I thought had a very, very rough game at guard, would you be comfortable going with him again, or would you want to see Vincent Painter get a shot at that right guard spot? And I'll open this up to everybody.
Well, I think you've got to see what Vincent Painter does in practice, too. I mean, we haven't seen him. I mean, we're talking about a couple guys we've not seen play, and it's
right.
Pretty hard to evaluate. So, I mean, the coaches obviously will see it on the tapes of the practices out there and make the call, and I think that's one of the reasons they're kind of waiting until later on in the week to figure out which one fits in the best.
For me personally, and I've said it all week long, is I was of the mindset, especially, you know, going into yesterday's practice and on into today's as well, is to have an 80% chance of one unit playing together to allow them all of Wednesday, all of Thursday, and on into tomorrow as well, and the walkthrough on Saturday to play together, to communicate, to start feeling each other out, whatever, you know, whoever it is, whether it's Painter, McQuiston, or Greco back at guard, or in McDonald at center, whatever it might be, I would just want to see the more reps we can get, the more continuity that we can build in a short period of time, the better.
Guys, frankly, I was pretty disappointed in Paul McQuiston. Now, here's a guy that, and I'll give you, Deke, that, you know, he hasn't played since the preseason in reality. So he's 6 weeks in. He hasn't had reps or taken snaps, but he got overpowered. He got overwhelmed. So maybe what we're seeing is that, as the Browns thought, better for him to be suited to going in. If it had to come down to backing up either Thomas or Schwartz, that maybe at the tackle spot would be, for him, the best way to go, because it wasn't pretty last Sunday. Wasn't pretty.
It just seems to me that the guard position in this offense needs to be highly athletic. And at this point in his career, Paul McQuiston seems slow to get to the second level, might not have the movement skills he needs, whereas from what I've told, what I've seen myself, Painter is very athletic. Might be our most athletic lineman, period, on this team.
And he's chiseled, too.
I mean, he looks the part. There's no question. He looks the part. So it's an interesting dilemma, because I think ultimately when you look at this offense, the key to this offense is being able to run the football, because this is not a team that is going to be able to say, you know, we're throwing it. That's why we're not so great on third down when we're in third and long situations, bottom four in the NFL on third downs, because you don't have that big wide receiver you can throw to when they're covered. You don't have, you know, a quarterback that is typically suited to that spread offense, drop back, I'm going to throw it 50 times a game. So getting this line figured out, I think, is the most important thing possible on this team. And I think it's a nod to Ray Farmer and company that they knew that when they took Betonio in the second round, a tackle, when he said, hey, we got two good tackles, to get another guard in there.
No, you're right. And again, for me, it's something that I want to see handled sooner than later. I guess I'm over, if we truly have an identity, you know, and that's running the football, we want to shore that identity as soon as possible. And that's getting the reps of those players that, you know, that we feel are up to speed within the offense. And again, and I think to Nick McDonald's point is physically, and you talk about, you know, what it takes to play in that zone scheme. I think the physicality and the athleticism of a guy like Nick McDonald, who's not, in my eyes, whether he's the butcher or not, he's not going to overpower you, but he's athletic enough to be plugged into this zone scheme, because I think his body type fits this zone scheme very well.
No question. I think athleticism is important. So we know what you got to do on the offensive line. Deke, I want to ask you about the defensive line, because I think when you look at Mike Pettine's scheme and you see it be successful, it comes with a lot of very good defensive line play. I think the back end is playing like a Mike Pettine defense. I think some of your linebackers, Dansby, Kirk, Siege Ballshear, playing like a Penn defense. But up front, you're not getting it. And if you think about Buffalo, where the linemen had all the sacks, right now there's one guy on the Browns roster who's active with Armani Bryant out, Desmond Bryant, who has a sack from the D-line, and he has one on the season. What are you seeing from this defensive line group, and what needs to be done to kind of stop the run and have them be more impactful on the game?
Well, I think, you know, obviously you got to eat up the double teams, you know, and I think Mike Pettine said it today, you know, part of the defense, or perhaps it was Paul O'Neill, is the upfront defensive lineman taking on two blockers. They don't want, at the point of attack, the guy taking on just one block. He wants two blocks so the linebackers can scrape off and, you know, make the play. So I think, you know, that's just something that they've got to, you know, get in sync, because it's not in sync right now. We're last in the league in yards and you know, you look at it, I think the average is 122, and we're giving up 156 or something
like
that.
And 5 yards a carry.
Yeah,
it's not good. Yeah. Gentlemen, on the defensive line, Matt, because as a linebacker, you know your ability to flow to the ball depends on what's going on up front. I remember in Baltimore when their linebackers had a very good run, and then they struggled a little bit. They bring in Haloti Ngata, and all of a sudden it was like, oh, okay, this is what these linebackers look like again. How important is it to you to be able to do your job?
It's very huge. And again, Deke brings up a great point about, you know, latching onto those double teams, allowing you the free reign to roam or to play downhill. The other thing that I think is an opportunity for us defensively is to get active. You know, instead of just being some big 300-plus pound bodies, you know, standing there and latching onto a double team or getting hooked, it's get us moving, get us stunting. And that's something that I've always been a part of as a part of that 3-4, you know, that 3-4 scheme, is because, you know, and again, understanding our personnel, if we're dropping Barkevius Mingo and bringing Kruger, it's like, let's run a stunt, you know, one way to make, you know, and that's our, again, imposing our will. That's a way for us to make the defensive line or the offensive line of the other team play very reactive. They have to react to us instead of us always reacting to them.
Is a danger in that, though, if you get out of the gap and that they happen to run out when you're stunting, that could be you could give up a big play.
It is, and that's why if you're gonna do it, you've got to be really good at it and do it as a unit. You can't have anybody go
freelance.
A half a gap or think something. It's no, you're stunting from this gap to that gap. Get there because the guys behind you and the guy next to you are banking on that.
This is the Roundtable brought to you by Blue Point Grill. It's Blue Point Grill with an E.com for reservations. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm, Michael Regei, and Doug Deacon from the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network. And guys, you look at the back end of this defense, I thought had their best game against Jacksonville. Justin Gilbert played his best game by far. Now Kaywan Williams is back. What do you think is going to happen there on the back end, and what would you do, Deke?
Well, I mean, we go back to what they do in practice. I think, obviously Gilbert has played better. They've got a big investment in him as a first-round draft pick. So sometimes that trumps, the lesser guy. But I think they have a lot of confidence in Kaywan Williams. And I think, you got the situation you want. You've got two young players competing against one another. And when you got that, that should make them each better because, if they want to get playing time, they've got to improve.
I see an Oakland receiving corps, too, that I think probably is better than most fans, NFL observers think they're size.
Big. Yep.
Big. They've got size. And, Sprano, I think, is going to look to probably find matchups out on the edges, outside the numbers, that might work to his advantage where, you can get vertical a little bit. So I'm hoping that this Browns DB corps has attention to detail in mind this week, Nathan, because I think it's going to be imperative. I think Oakland could hurt them if they don't.
They can't give up the big play.
No.
And Andre Holmes reminds me of Justin Hunter. He's averaging 19 yards a catch.
Yeah, and the thing about it is, you look at the Raiders' offensive line, they've only given up 5 sacks.
Yep. I mean, that's big guys.
That's pretty incredible. When you think you've got a rookie quarterback, usually the numbers are pretty high.
Yeah, they've only given up 5 sacks. They only have 6 sacks, so they're at the bottom of the
league
in both categories.
He's in the pocket, too. He's not out on the edges.
No.
He's a pocket guy.
He's been slinging around. I think you make a good point there because, Gilbert matches up physically with these guys better than Buster or Kaywan on the outside. So it'll be interesting to see how they play that out because the last time we faced a big guy was Hunter, and he gave us a lot of problems in Tennessee, and that's something that the Browns need to do. All right, one key from each of you on what the most important factor in your mind for the Browns coming out and getting this win, getting back on track this Sunday. Matt, we'll start with you.
I'm going to go as much as I want to say stop the run. I think that, and I'll go against the trend statistically. The Raiders struggle running the ball, so it is our back end repeating a performance like they had in Jacksonville against what most people will think is an average Raiders receiving corps. They are an above average group.
I agree.
And I think you talk about James Jones, who I played with in Green Bay, is very, very productive, 3 touchdowns. And again, those big bodies and the one thing that we've seen time and time again teams do is take advantage of the matchups they see versus the Cleveland Browns.
Run the football, man. I mean, they're still 6th, Deke, in the NFL. The Browns, I'm talking about it, 135 per game, but that took a detour last week against a much better and a very fast, aggressive Jacksonville defense. But think about it. When the Browns run the football, you're moving the sticks, you sustain drives. They've had 6 drives over 80 yards this year that have culminated in touchdowns. And you keep that defense standing over there on the football field where they could regroup too. So get back to running the football.
Well, just like cornerbacks, I think quarterbacks have to have short memories, and I think Brian Hoyer has to put last week's game behind him and just reload this week and come out and say that was a hiccup and play efficient football because, the offense, if we can get the running game going, it'll help Brian Hoyer. But, we all know the quarterback is always the key.
He's the key. He's got to be more accurate than he was last week. And I think giving him that ground game to set up that play action, that's where he's most comfortable. And hopefully that will come to fruition. Gentlemen, thank you so much for being here on the Roundtable. Brought to you by Blue Point Grill. And again, it's the classiest way to tailgate. Oysters, Bloody Marys, incredible food, valet parking, pre-gaming in style. And the good news is with a 4:25 kickoff this week, you can go in there, have a nice lunch, have some crab legs, get yourself some champagne, and have a great time with the fine folks at Blue Point Grill. They'll make it a VIP experience, as I said, for everyone. So go down to Blue Point Grill. That's grillwithane.com. Make your reservation online and enjoy a special, special occasion with that special someone. Score those points. We all know, gentlemen, nice to have some points in the back pocket. You're going to need them eventually.
So take
those ladies out to Blue Point Grill and get them. All right, we'll be back with more Cleveland Browns Daily driven by Liberty Ford right after this.